We take our text words tonight from the chapter we read from 2 Chronicles 5 and tie it in somewhat with the instruction on prayer this evening from the Lord's Day. And I will not reread Lord's Day on prayer, but it is the chief part of thankfulness, as we noted in an earlier sermon. I'd like to take your attention to verse 11 through 14 of 2 Chronicles 5. A very solemn and striking moment in the ordination of the, or inauguration rather, of the temple of Solomon. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, having just placed the ark there, for all the priests who were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. They were not divided up yet on that particular day. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, they stood at the east end of the altar. That's the entrance of the temple, right there at the opening. And with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, with this scripture this evening, let's consider the theme of the beauty of grateful praise, part of our prayer, chief part of our prayer is to be grateful praises. And let us, with three thoughts, consider that tonight. We are to cultivate grateful praises in our daily prayer life. It is not only to be cultivated by all, it's to be brought together as a congregation, as a family, by everyone. And thirdly, it will bring the Spirit in awe, as you notice this marvelous moment that the Spirit of God ministered or moved in. And it's no doubt that the Apostle Paul thought of this portion when he wrote Ephesians 5, as I will try to illustrate tonight. So, the beauty, grateful praise. Before we go look at the Lord's Prayer beginning next week, one more sermon on the element of thanksgiving in prayer life. You cannot be an ardent student of the Scripture, especially of the book of Psalms, not to notice how much of the Psalms are devoted to praising the Lord directly and singing thanksgiving type of language. The Scripture abounds with thanksgiving passages of saints of God in the Old and the New Testament. The book of Psalms I just mentioned. You take a study of the prayers of Paul, which we have many examples in the epistles that he has written. It's always this element of fervent thanksgiving. Paul abounded in thanksgiving. This beautiful example of Job, even on the worst day of his life, had a thanksgiving service. God took, God gave, God took. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Godly Daniel, three times a day, bowed his knees to thank the Lord, as well as to pray, of course. But always is there this element of thanksgiving the chief occupation of new heaven and the new earth will be this massive thanksgiving service. No better way than to read the words of that thanksgiving prayer. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 1,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever." It must be a massive service. All the creation, all what is there, will worship God with thanksgiving. That's my first thought this evening. That thanksgiving needs to be cultivated. That doesn't grow by itself. That doesn't grow in our toddlers by itself. You give them a birthday present, they say, "No, thank you." They ask for the next one. And we say, "Stop, you say thanks." We cultivate. We try to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving. But what we men can do is only create a habit, not a spirit of thanksgiving. We can teach our children to say the right things in the right time with enough carrots in front of their noses. But we can teach our kids to be truly thankful. Neither can we that as adults. That is only God's work, indeed, to teach us that. And yet, the scripture abounds with the exhortations towards thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, you can argue, of course, that's written to a believer. That is true. But that doesn't excuse the unbeliever. Give thanks unto God always for all things unto God and the Father, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can add many other verses to that. Psalm 100, Psalm 95. Hebrews 13 speaks even about the thanksgiving of the lips. Him, by Him, that is through Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not a day in our life must there be a lack of thanksgiving. Why do the inspired scriptures emphasize this so much? Well, just the same way that we emphasize it to our little kids. We're prone to forget. We are very quick to forget and to be unthankful. The best of God's children struggle with unthankfulness. Mostly because we're unmindful, friends. We're unmindful what we have. It's obvious that an experience as I had just these last 2 weeks ago opens your eyes for 100 little things just take for granted. And that are not part of our daily thanksgiving because we don't even realize it's a blessing. We need to cultivate in our own minds this constant spirit of thanksgiving. We need to cultivate it in our children. We need to remind our elderly of that as they get older and as the increased pains and aches and limitations. We forget to be thankful for what we may have still. We need to do it as adults, constantly reminding. God's children need to remind ourselves, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all within me. Let us bless His holy name." Oh, I suggest 5 reasons why this scripture is speaking about the need to cultivate the spirit of thanksgiving. And the first one is this. I notice that in the Apostle Paul, the absence of a negative mindset. Thanksgiving spirit and grateful mindset guards us from being critically negative and sour. Paul had tremendous headaches of the churches he ministered to, particularly the Corinthians, but really, the only one that doesn't seem to have a real problem is the Ephesians. But all the others, problems in these congregations. And yet, when you read through his letters, you never get the feeling the man is negative, sour. Why? Because Paul always begins with thanksgiving. Nearly in every letter he writes, he refers to the thanksgiving he gives to God for the utterances and for the graces and for the things he hears about them and that he has seen in them. Always his first thanksgiving. Before he lays the finger on the tender spots that he needs to tap. I love that in Paul. God grant us that mindset. How do we get there? Oh, by praying that God would in us cultivate the spirit of thanksgiving. You know, friends, gratefulness chills judgmentalism. Grateful spirits chills a judgmental spirit. I also see that in Paul. He sees the smallest evidence of grace. And he abounds in the most beautiful thanksgiving. And you just notice as he writes and as he deals with the congregations that he ministers to, that there is so little of this judgmentalism which puts him up there and puts them down there. That's what I mean with judgmentalism. Of course we have to make judgments. God never forbids that. But not, I'm there, and you are there. For if you are there, and if the other is there, why are you there, and why is he there? What's the answer? Would you say with Paul, by grace I am what I am? And he's thankful for that. He knows that if God would not do that in him, he knows where he would be still, persecuting the saints of God and murdering them wherever he could. So by grace I am what I am. That gives you a mildness in your character. Oh, another reason to pray that God may cultivate in us the spirit of thanksgiving. Now the third reason, thanksgiving is contagious. But this time, good contagious. Everything is contagious. Proverbs says, don't spend time with angry men. Because you get angry. Maybe another place says, don't spend your time with sinful people. It's contagious. Make sure you stay far away from it. Evil communication corrupts the manners, Paul writes somewhere. So, evil talk, evil listening, evil looking, it's going to corrupt you. It's contagious. But so is the good. Thanksgiving and gratefulness is contagious. How do I mean that? Well, let's quote the Lord's word in this regard. Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And now, the contagiousness. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, you don't tell these people to glorify God. Jesus, you shine the lights. Whatever that means in this case, it could be holiness, it could be love, it could be the gratefulness for the smallest deed. You shine the lights. And you don't have to say anything when you shine light. There's no words involved. And they may see what you see show. And God may use it to touch their lives. And they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's contagious. Yeah, living next to a person who genuinely exalts and praises God for the smallest detail he observed. That causes conviction in my heart. That makes me feel ashamed. Spend time with men who notice things that I wouldn't even notice. And that rubs off. That is contagious. You say, hey, how could I miss that? I'm so used to it. But they are not. And they're thankful for it. They're so thankful. And you walk away thinking, Lord, I missed that Thanksgiving in my life. It's contagious, friends. Let us pray that God may cultivate in us the spirit of thankfulness. Now, fourthly, thankfulness or gratefulness, that is the truest and the purest and the highest worship of God possible. In heaven, there will be no more intercession. There will be no more petition. There will be no more confessions. There will only be the worship of the praise and the thanksgiving of our great God and Savior. That's the purest worship on earth, is thanksgiving. And we may abound in thanksgiving, pure and meant and fervent and upright, not to insincerely make an impression. No, then we will worship God the purest way. You know, God speaks in Ephesians 2 about the ages to come in which we will trace, in which God's church will trace the exceeding riches of His grace. What that exactly means, don't ask me. But it says this, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us by Christ Jesus. This is my thought, that God later on is going to review many things in our lives that we have overlooked. So look, there was my grace. Look, there was my angel. Look, there was my spirit constraining you. Look, that was me. And we're going to thank Him forever. Now, heaven is thanksgiving. Lastly, the spirit of thanksgiving, friends, is tied in to the filling with the Spirit. This classic passage out of 2 Chronicles 5 speaks about that. Notice that as these people are singing, and I'll come back to that, and praising God, the house was filled with the glory of God, so that the priest could not stand by reason of that cloud of the glory of God that's filled the house of God. We'll come back on that last statement, that this grateful spirit obtains the Spirit of God. Now, how do we cultivate thanksgiving? Prayer. Start there. Let's ask the Lord every day, Lord, cultivate in me the genuine spirit of thanksgiving. Keep my eyes open for the things Thou art laying on my way. As it says in our beautiful version of Psalm 68 in Psalter 426, no, 420, 420. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. Lord, open my eyes that I may see every day that steeping. You know what steeping is, right? Kids, when you make a teacup, you put that tea bag in there once. You take it out and you have weak tea. But if you're going to steep that tea, and put it back and forth in there, steeping it. It gets dark brown. That's steeping. Thou comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. Let's begin this week, because we began it today. Let's begin this week. Lord, now open my eyes this day to all the bounties that come my way. Keep my heart and my mind constantly alert to the smallest little things. And then, friends, maybe we will get the experience, as I said a couple of weeks ago. Maybe we'll get the embarrassment that also David, in a certain sense, experienced when he says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us were. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them. They're more than can be numbered." Let's secondly realize the smallest gift and the tiniest details are monuments, monuments of enormous grace. The tiniest detail of your life. What would it be? Well, we got a nice cushioned seat to sit on. Nice warm floor. Come on. Gotta thank the Lord for that. No. If you go in other countries of the world, you'll be thankful for your seat. Because I've sat on seats this past week, and I have seen places perhaps don't have warm floors at all. Walked into the school yesterday, kids, and I felt it was kind of warm in there. It was a cold day yesterday, I guess, or yesterday night. Children your age in China, in the middle of the winter, 5-10 degrees below zero, no heating in school. And maybe 1 degree above zero. You try to write with stiff fingers like that. The smallest details of our lives. Awesome. It's awesome. Let's cultivate this mindset. Let's begin to notice the things. You know, one of us in our midst, I'll mention my name, Mr. Van Dorp. You go ask him sometimes, kids, how he ate his first little piece of bread in World War II, at the end of the winter hunger. You go ask him sometime. He'd love to tell you that. And you'll never throw the bread away again that mom prepared. We don't know what hunger is. Do you? The smallest detail of grace, let's stop to think about it. It is all grace, what I guess. Nothing we deserve, right? So everything I have above hell. How about that? It's the best definition. Everything I have above hell is grace. Let's begin to thank tonight. For everything you have above hell. Where is our thanksgiving? It's shocking how poor. Yeah, I'm not only talking about the unconverted. People of the Lord, how much is thanksgiving a part of us? Every breath I eat and every drink I drink and every house I live in and every blessing I receive because that man dying on the cross for me. There is not a single blessing in my life that has come at the highest of all prices. Jesus' blood. And where is our thanksgiving? Come. Let's go back to this very first answer of the Lord's Day. Why is prayer necessary for the Christian? It is the chiefest part of thanksgiving. Let us make that our daily exercise to thank the Lord. We didn't bury anybody yesterday as they did in Indonesia this week. And another earthquake hit Jakarta. We read it in the paper. I didn't thank the Lord. I never even thought of it until I made the statement just a moment ago. That my house is still standing. That my loved ones are still alive. Are we suffering hunger as the majority of mankind is at the moment? The world was reduced to 10 people, and 3 are fed and 7 are hungry. You and I are among the three. Last week you see people in the country that are poor. Now poor people here have a chance to get up on the social ladder. Our Prime Minister John Key grew up in total poverty. He's Prime Minister today. That would be never possible in most countries of the world. People that are stuck in a low rural area. My friends have to work and work and work just to survive. Nothing extra. Why do we not have that? Just some thought. Think of the Thanksgiving. This week I visited a couple in one of the cities of China. And this mother, this wife is busy with a ministry among prostitutes. One of the worst scourges in China. If you have no skills, but you have a body, you can sell your body. The most endless misery. We can't even begin to think about these girls and women. Why not you? Oh, it's their choice. Oh, you don't know anything about prostitutes if you just say that. There are complicated stories behind these poor women's lives. Let's be thankful. And the list can go on, my friends. Let us cultivate the spirit of thanksgiving. I haven't said anything about the spiritual privileges that we have today. That the Lord is not leaving us in the spiritual darkness without a message of hope and grace. This morning He spoke to us about the massive grace and love in His Son, Jesus Christ. There are millions of people who never get to hear that. And count on it. Their place in hell will be a lot more comfortable than yours if you reject it. Thanksgiving for the great grace of our holy God for giving us these things while we're unholy people, ungrateful people, sinful people, depraved people. He stretches out His golden scepter of grace and mercy and brings us these tidings from day to day. Now, cultivate the spirit of thanksgiving. Let's begin tomorrow. If not, you can begin tonight. Let's make a list of 10 things tonight that you can be thankful for. And maybe you don't even feel thankful. That's okay. Make the list anyway. Maybe when you're by number 3, that you begin to realize what a sin it is not to be thankful. And Philpott says somewhere, maybe by your number 10, you may be on your knees. Let's make the list. Let's ask the wife. Let's ask the kids. Let's ask ourselves. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Let's not forget any of His benefits. Let's sing. 368. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise. And enter now into thy rest, O let this house be thy abode. Ever with thy presence blessed. Let's do all verses of 368.
Thank you.
of thanksgiving that is to be brought by us all. We looked at this chapter this evening, what a special day it was in the history of Israel. Solomon had completed with all the workers the house of the Lord. Notice that on that day, as it's finished, all the Levites are involved in moving the sacred furniture of the simple tabernacle that David had made. Moving it one by one into the temple of Solomon. What great care and solemn quietness was that moving made. Even though it says that finally when they come to the ark, you notice verse 6, that all the congregation of Israel, obviously the representatives, as in verse 2, are gathered together. And that before the ark, the sacrifices of sheep and oxen, which cannot be told in number, were made. The history of Uzzah and David's moving of the ark first is no doubt vividly in the memory. And notice that all these things are placed in the sacred places and the sacred dedicated spaces of the temple. It's just still an empty building. Just an empty building. There's no answer from heaven whether God indeed would fill the house with his very presence. But then the choir begins to sing. It's a massive choir. Sons of Asaph are singing the songs that were composed for that day, some of them perhaps by David himself. And they're standing there all together with the white linen and the cymbals and the psalteries by the opening gate, the east of this newly built temple. And then we notice verse 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Not a petition. At this point, not a petition. That comes in the next chapter when Solomon takes over in the dedicatory prayer. And no, one voice and one sound in praising and thanking the Lord. We observe the order. First the sacrifice. Then the praises. It's not indeed because, but certainly not without the sacrifice. The sacrifices all point to Christ. And there's a multitude of them indeed, as it says, cannot be numbered for the multitude. First the sacrifices before the Lord. Then the praises. Let's never forget that order in thanksgiving as well. The Hebrew author, who dwells a lot on the theme of the tabernacle and the temple, says that also. He says, by him, Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, the most impressive thanksgiving prayers and the most thunderous, beautiful choirs singing these praises would be in God's ear in total rejected thanksgiving. How can it be pure what comes out of our heart and mouth? How can it be praising him what comes out of us? And therefore, first the sacrifices, then the thanksgiving. So without faith and without dependence and without looking to Christ Jesus, it is impossible to please God. We are reminded of that just recently by Cain. His sacrifice was some kind of a thanksgiving sacrifice, perhaps. At the end of the harvest. Rejected. No faith, no looking, no needing Christ. But if we worship God through Christ and constantly depending on him, then can there be an answer from heaven, but not before. But then it is indeed so beautifully when The whole congregation stands together. Just notice again the words. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Friends, we need to be together in this. We need to be together in thanksgiving. We need to praise the Lord indeed as one. It's so beautifully connected in the Luke, in the author of Luke. He ends his epistle or gospel this way. And it came to pass when Christ blessed them, he was parted from them and carried them to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Acts 1, they're still doing it. Acts 2, the Spirit. Same order of this thanksgiving praises to God, even though they missed so much at that point. They thank and praise the Lord for what they had received already. And then the Spirit of God was brought forth on the day of Pentecost. Friends, is that not the order also for us today? Let us be together as one voice of tongues and heart together to praise the Lord and to thank Him in our families. Let's start that every day. You still have family worship every day? Family worship is not just reading a portion of Scripture and mumbling a prayer. That's habit. Don't stop that habit. It's a good habit. Family worship is leading your family and yourself in the presence of God. We need to begin with thanksgiving in the name of Christ for all that has taken place that day in our life. One voice. Shouldn't be only be dad's voice then. Should be the kids' voice, wife's voice. Sometimes maybe we should stop and ask our families, come, what shall we thank the Lord for today? Let's agree about that first. And then you as a father lead your family as the priest of the house in the presence of God to give praise and thanksgiving joyfully, humbly. Let us verbalize to the Lord what these people verbalize. But look what they say. For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. How is the Lord good? Now think about it. He didn't forsake mankind that rebelled against Him. Isn't that good? Isn't that an... Oh, we get so used to the story of Genesis 3. We hardly hear it anymore when we refer to it. But stop again. We just, may I say it that way? We kicked God out of our life. At least we tried. That's what the fall is all about. It's not a fall like, oh, we fell. No, no. It's a rising up in rebellion against the Creator. And next thing we hear of God is Him coming after man who's running away from Him. For He is good. His mercy, compassion, endureth forever. As man is in rebellion against Him, He doesn't lay His seeds of starving methods around the city like the Babylonians did to Jerusalem, like the Romans did to Jerusalem. If you don't submit, we'll starve you into death. It's not God's method. He beseeches us with steeping us with bounties freely given to melt our hearts, to draw us. What is this, Lord? Gentle and kind. With His mercies. For He is good. He provided His own Son, the unspeakable gift, as the perfect and fitting mediator. one mediator between God and man. It's His own Son. It's His own beloved darling that He provided as the perfect fitting mediator, the Son of God, united with the Son of Man. He is good. He demands from us righteousness. We cannot give it. He provides the righteousness of God in His own Son. He is good. There's hope for the hopeless one in what He has provided in His own Son. Come, friends, are our eyes opened for what Peter saw? Thou art the only Christ, the Son of the living God. Your eyes are opened for that. You're a blessed man and blessed person. He is good. For though He has stood at your door already for years knocking, He still stands knocking. He is not done with you. Why? For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. He's still alive today. Another means of grace tonight. For He is good. Oh, let's make that number one on the list. The means of grace this evening. Lord, I thank Thee. I was under the ministry of Thy word tonight. For He is good, friends. All of us together make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And then notice lastly that the beauty of that grateful praise brought the Spirit of God in the glory of the Lord, filling the house so that the priests had to back away. So much of the glory of the Lord was filling that place on that day. Now I notice that the translators have added a word, and I'm glad they did. To show indeed the significance of the connection. Notice that the word then in the text of verse 13 is in italics. You can't find that in the Hebrew. It's implied, though. And so they have for us added it. It came to pass as the trumpeters, for that word is there, as they were singing, making one sound, thanking and praising, lifting up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbal, praising God, that as they were doing it, that then, what is the connection? That then the Spirit of God, the glory of the Lord, came and filled the house of God as He did on that special day. Now, friends, that's only the shadow. But it happens place in the temple of God's children likewise. For every child of God is more than the temple of Solomon. Far more. Why is the Spirit so little present in the life of God's church? Well, the Ephesian author makes a very clear connection. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Too many of God's children are drunk. Oh, no, no. No alcohol, perhaps. Drunk with materialism. Drunk with the world. Drunk with the pleasures. Drunk with all the things. Drunk so stupefied that we don't even realize the blessings we have. Because drunk people don't observe anything. They don't notice things. Notice where she goes on. But be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody on your heart to the Lord. He's not done. Giving thanks to the Lord always for all things in the name of Jesus Christ. How do we be filled with the Spirit? I'll begin with thanksgiving. Begin to praise the Lord for the, for all the blessings that you observe in your daily life. Let's begin there. That is God's divine means and way for filling with the Spirit. Maybe you struggle and go bow down under the coldness of heart. Maybe you struggle with a dimness in the spiritual eyes of your mind. Maybe you struggle indeed feeling weary and overwhelmed with the sins and the guilt. Indeed, maybe you strain under the circumstances of your life. Where do I begin in my prayer? With thanksgiving. There first. But everything is falling apart and I'm hurting and I'm painful and I'm confused, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. Where must I begin in my prayer? Thanksgiving. There first. How can I be restored from this being filled with the wine of the world wherein there is excess, when there is destruction, even of my spiritual life? Singing and praising God and giving thanks. For what He has done. Oh yeah, there will be confession of sin too, of course, congregation. I realize that. Don't skip that stage. But praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Only one can unchill the heart. Only one can cure of spiritual backsliding. Only one can unburden our soul. Only one can break the bondage of a dark and depressed spirit. Only one can cure the sinfulness and subdue the iniquity of our heart. That's the Spirit of God. The only one. It's His work. But if we indeed do not sufficiently honor and glorify Him in a God-ordained way through the sacrifice, we can't be filled with the Spirit. So come, let us review our private devotions. In the Old Testament time, there was a sin offering, there was a trespass offering, there was a burn offering, then there were the meat offerings. What are those? Those are the thanksgiving offerings. Are they lacking in your life? We are trespass offerings and sin offerings. We're seeking the Lord for forgiveness. But where are the meat offerings? Where is the thanksgiving? Where is the devotion to the Lord in our prayers, recounting and dwelling on what we have received in spite of sin? Come, friends. The Apostle Paul, he's one of the heroes of faith. That dear brother is a man who had a spirit of thanksgiving. Did Paul not have the depravity of heart that we have? Well, you can count on it, just the same. But notice again his thanksgiving. Oh, wretched man that I am, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Thanksgiving is always in that man, even on his most miserable confessions of his own struggling life. As a believer, he is filled with the spirit of thanksgiving. And let that stir us tonight to take on this week, seeking God, Lord, cultivate thanksgiving. Shall we do that together? Amen. Let us pray. O faithful Savior and faithful Redeemer and faithful Sanctifier, we beseech Thee tonight to cultivate in our minds and hearts this spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, we must confess that there are thousands of details in our daily life we completely ignore and overlook. We must confess that so many sins are cleaving to our prayer in where it lacks. But I may also thank Thee tonight, Lord, that Thou hast made provision in that wonderful Redeemer, also in the thanking High Priest. We pray that Thou wilt teach us to come before Thee
through the sacrifice, through the redeeming and meriting work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him offer to Thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving continually. Lord, Thou hast shown in Thy Word that there is an intimate connection between this thanksgiving praise and the filling of the house and the filling of the heart with Thy Spirit. Oh, enable us then to live that way for the first time or by renewal. Go with us in this week that we have begun again, with all our trials and afflictions, with all our difficulties and challenges. Lord, will Thou keep us focused that we have so much above hell, and all of it is pure grace. Remind us of that. And we tend to get swept along with the moment of the day. Keep us alert to that, Lord. And we see only what is lacking or missing or difficult or wearying or tiring. Oh, we cannot be what we need to be without Thy divine salvation. Help us in all our labor, especially those of us who work in worldly, ungodly environments. Protect us from being soiled with what we do not seek. O God, but give us also grace of resisting. And bless every one of us with health in body and mind. Work in our daily life, also those who are seeking for work. We ask it, Lord, undeserving. In Jesus' most precious name, Amen.